Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us today from the first reading that you heard from the book of Acts. I'd just like to reread the 17th verse. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Friends in Christ, I hate, and I know hate is a strong word, but I hate being wrong. Whether it's something trivial or something important, I just can't stand the embarrassment of being proven incorrect. And I remember, just to give you one of many examples, I was teaching a Bible study one time and was talking about another denomination, and I misrepresented some of their central teachings. Well, someone in the class that I was teaching knew all about that church body, and they called me on it right there in class. Now, I was confident of my position, but I promised to look into it during the week, and to my dismay, I looked into it and learned I was completely wrong. So I reported my findings to the class the next week and took my lumps, and I think it ended up being a good thing. I may have even gained a little credibility by admitting I was wrong. We can only speculate about how Saul of Tarsus felt in the days following his encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road. We tend to think of Saul's conversion in immediate terms. One moment he's Saul the Christian hunter, the next he's the super saint. And to be sure, coming face to face with the resurrected Jesus utterly changed him. But I have to think that mixed in with the amazement and the wonder was an almost sickening realization that his entire view of the world had been wrong. Seems to be a very quiet Saul that we see early in Acts chapter 9. Silently processing what had just happened to him. His way of looking at and functioning within his world had been wrong. His notions of what was pleasing to God had been wrong. As if to underscore just how wrong he had been, God blinded him for 3 days. It was like God saying, "This is what you were, Saul. Blind to the truth." Adding insult to injury, Saul was depending on the help of a Christian, the type of person that up until then he had been trying to eliminate. Saul had a lot to think about as he sat in that house on Straight Street. He had to find out just how wrong he had been before he could do anything right. It was a painful process. He wasn't in the mood to eat or drink for 3 days, but it was a necessary process. And you may recall that it wasn't long before Saul went public, candidly sharing what he had learned, pointing people to Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises. In one sense, the story of Saul's turnaround is a dramatic example of Easter in action, for it's nothing else than a conversation with the living Messiah that shook the foundations of Saul's life. It was an audience with Jesus, once dead and now very much alive and well, that caused Saul to switch. By the way, Saul's conversion is great circumstantial evidence for the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Why else would someone like Saul change so completely? He really had nothing to gain by following Jesus and had far more to lose from a worldly perspective. He had been thoroughly convinced he was doing the right thing until the risen Jesus appeared to him. And something new was about to blossom in Saul. Because of his contact with the Jesus of Easter, a new person was about to emerge from the old. Saul was getting a second chance. And it's at this point that we meet Ananias, who's one of those great saints of Scripture who make up the supporting cast of God's plan for salvation. A Christian living in Damascus, he's contacted directly by the Lord and told to go minister to Saul of Tarsus, who's in a house on Straight Street. And this would be the equivalent of God sending a message to you saying, go to the house on Main Street and look for Hitler. He's expecting you. You might object to the idea. And Ananias offers up some protest here, but then the Lord reveals his thoughts regarding Saul's second chance. This is very interesting. He says, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. As astounding as these words would have seemed to Ananias, they would be proven true. Saul would go on to do all the things God mentions here and then some. And to his credit, Ananias goes and finds the man who had been one of the most intimidating enemies of the faith. Can you imagine the thoughts and feelings that would have swirled around inside of Ananias as he drew close to the man who had relished binding Christians and throwing them in prison to await execution? But what does Ananias say? Ananias speaks only words of grace. Remember how he starts out? Brother Saul. Just think of that. Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you on the road has sent me to you so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the writer of Acts tells us that immediately his vision was restored, and moreover, his entire way of seeing the world is remade as he is baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now his second chance has really begun. And Saul, we can safely say, made the most of it. Saul had to see how wrong he had been before he could do anything right. He endured those dark days, and now, because of the mercy and love of the very Jesus he had been persecuting, he was a new person. He was baptized into the Christian faith, the faith that held Jesus to be the Son of the Father, the true and greatest Passover lamb, the Messiah from David's family tree. Then we're told Saul spent some time in the company of the Damascus Christians. And can you imagine what those conversations must have been like? Saul had been given a second chance, and he wasted no time in doing his first Christian preaching there in the Damascus synagogues. And I love the way that it says it at the end of this passage. Saul confounded the Jews in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. And Saul would continue to confound his world with the cross of Jesus as his message and with a Christ-like life as his living letter to the world. And I say all that about Saul so I can say this to you. The life of Saul is proof that God is a God of second chances. Our God wants everyone, everyone, to admit how wrong they have been, so that he can heal them with his mercy and fill them with his rightness. Our God aches to forgive people and grant them a second chance. But here are the questions, and you probably knew they were coming. How do you do at offering forgiveness and second chances to people who hurt you? Is our church a place where forgiveness and second chances describe how we deal with one another? I will never forget a statement made by Dr. James Bullhagen, who was a professor of mine at Fort Wayne. He said, "The church is not a place where people are granted forgiveness only if they can first prove that they don't need it." That's so good, I'll say it again. The church is not a place where people are granted forgiveness only if they can first prove that they don't need it. And yet so often, that is exactly how Christians can act. It creeps so easily into any relationship, the withholding of forgiveness, the running tally of offenses committed, especially when the other person just doesn't seem to care. We pass judgment on people, clinging to nuggets of conventional wisdom, such as, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, leopard doesn't change his spots, and so on. But the truth is, we should be overflowing with forgiveness and second chances. We should be quick to forgive and give people the benefit of the doubt, just as quick to explain things in the kindest possible way. And if we're not, maybe we still don't really get what Jesus is all about. Or maybe we just have to see how wrong we've been before we can do what's right. If you have guilt about how you've treated someone, be honest about it with God. Think of the shame that Saul must have felt sitting there alone for 3 days in darkness. You are invited to admit your sin to the God of forgiveness and second chances. You see, if you are ready to own up to your sin, Jesus is ready to forgive it. The same Jesus who paid for your forgiveness with his suffering and death is the same living Jesus who can send you on your way with new vision, new priorities. You have been given a precious gift. You have another chance to let the grace of Jesus dominate your thinking. You have another chance to let the grace of Jesus spur you on to action. Confound your world with Jesus in your words and in your deeds. And let's honor him by being second chance people. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the example of Saul, we see how fundamental and how all-consuming your gospel can be when it descends on a person. It can change them utterly and completely, and yet we have such a hard time sometimes believing that you can change people like that, even if you've changed us that way ourselves. Lord, help us to truly believe your gospel, which means We don't believe at all in our own performance. We believe only in Jesus' performance. It's the only thing that counts. And when we truly work that into our minds and hearts, how can we not forgive? How can we not forgive as we have been forgiven? Let us never be far from your cross, Lord Jesus. Amen.